From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of January 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, and our own Jim Angel from the Illinois State Water Survey. State climatologist will be here to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. I'll tell you more about this afternoon's and this evening's events with Orion Samuelson. First off, if you get the opportunity, shut the radio off now and then turn it back on when you get in the vehicle. If you're within an hour, hour and a half, you can come to campus. Bevere Hall, which is on the south end of Goodwin Avenue on campus, just to the right, it's the building just as you tee into Gregory Drive, is the place that Orion will be signing books this afternoon. You can buy one, have Orion sign it. If you didn't get a chance to buy a ticket for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. If you did, well, then I'll see you this evening about 6 o'clock in that same building. Looking so forward to having you here. One other item, and I'll give you a phone number now. Don't forget about our March 5th All-Day Agricultural Outlook. That's over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The tickets are on sale now at 217-333-7300. I'll remind you of that later in this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On a Friday afternoon, the March soft red winter wheat at $7.76.5 was up 8 for the day. May futures at $7.84.75, 7.75 higher in July. Your harvest month in the wheat at $7.88.5, a settlement up 6.25. The hard red at $8.40.25 in Kansas City finished 8 cents lower. March corn futures $7.20.75, down 3.5. The May at $7.21.5, and these are settlements, down 2.75. July corn $7.12.75, down 2.5 cents, in September at $6.07.25, a penny lower. Your new crop December $5.84.25, down 1.25 for the day. The March contract of next year at $5.94.25, down 1.25 cents. March beans up 5.75 today to settle at $14.41 a bushel. May at $14.26, up 2.25. July up 0.25 cent at $14.17.75. And the September beans settled at $13.42.5, down 3.5 cents. November's at $13.03, down 2.75. Bean meal futures at $416.40, and they were up $1.70. Bean oil at $52.10 finished a penny lower on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the livestock numbers settled up like in Chicago. April futures for the live cattle at $130.75, up 40. June at $126.52.5, up 27.5. March feeders at $147.95, unchanged, and the April at $151.15, down 2.5 cents. Lean hogs finished the April at $88.92.5. And they were down 75 cents on the afternoon. The outside markets show us the crude oil trading at $95.97, just about 2 cents higher at this hour. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, a penny and a half higher at $2.87.8. And ethanol at $2.37.5, down 0.7 cents. The difference between the two now at about 50.3 cents. That's 2.2 cents wider than it was yesterday. And the wider it is, the more likely it is that they'll blend ethanol into the marketplace. Natural gas at $3.45.9, up 1.3 cents. Heating oil at $3.06.2. That's 2.3 cents higher, or rather lower on the day. And the gold futures at $1,656.60 an ounce, down $13.30. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 32 and a west wind at about 15 tonight. Mostly clear, a low of 12. Mostly sunny tomorrow, a high of 26. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, a low of 20 on a southeast wind. Sunday, a slight chance of freezing rain, some sleet before noon, then rain or freezing rain likely. Cloudy on Sunday with a high of 34 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 25th day of January. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey, Todd. Happy Friday, sir.
Happy Friday to you as well. You've been busy with a couple of things. I know you were in Pontiac this week. With Dave Dickey, right?
Yes, had a fantastic meeting up there at the Elks Club. Our thanks to everybody there.
That was a good meeting. And then one of our listeners, a Missouri Extension agent in the Boot Heel, had you come down to Sykeston and put a market meeting on there. I think that was last night or the night before, maybe.
Yeah, just yesterday I was down there and had a fantastic meeting down there with a lot of nice producers. The Boot Heel producers are a lot like the Central Illinois and Central Indiana producers. That just like us, they're worried about the drought, and they're also worried about the prices staying high. And they're fighting that same battle that we found in Pontiac, and essentially we're finding all over the Midwest, whether you're traveling or I'm traveling, we're hearing the same thing. The concern is, and I think rightfully so, is that the new crop prices are going to have a tough time staying this high without the supply and weather-driven market. And I think that's what maybe one of the bigger points that I try and point out in these meetings is 2012 was more like 1988 than it was like 1996. So when David Reinbaud invited me down there, that was one of the big things to talk about, is how do you do that? They down there have river basis and irrigation to give them more flexibility, but that comes at the expense of not being able to use the crop insurance as much as a tool due to the bottom ground and maybe their APH is not being high enough to really protect them. So they're a little bit unique in that respect, and that was some of the things that we threw back and forth. A great learning meeting for me as much as then, I'm sure.
Yeah, their crop insurance premium should be pretty high, and they will probably go up again this year, I would think, too.
I would think that, too, and like you've been reporting, exact opposite of what we're probably facing in central Illinois and Indiana.
Yeah, it's the fringe areas or the areas that are further out that have more volatility in how well their crops do year in and year out that are on the end of that, and they're likely to see higher premiums here in the northern two-thirds of the state of Illinois and the upper two-thirds of the Midwest, much less likely to see higher crop insurance rates and lower ones instead in this coming month. How do you deal with that for them, just out of curiosity? What kinds of things did you tell them?
The big point that we came to the conclusion on was I really think between their river basis and the fact that they're irrigated, and we recall that they're doing a lot more wheat, and from what I saw, it's true. The USDA number had Missouri soft red wheat acres up, I think, 27%. I think that was a fair number based upon what I saw from Cairo on south into Sykeston. I think what I tried to present was the idea is I'm pretty friendly to the wheat market, give the wheat a chance to rally, but come back around and get those new crop beans locked in relatively early, even if you don't have a good crop insurance policy, because one of the fellows that I work with in near Memphis, Tennessee, was telling me the river bid for new crop beans was 15 over right now, and it's normally 30 to 40 under. So there's about 60 to 65 cents to play with just right there. And I think that gives me the comfort that, okay, as a marketing person, if I'm wrong about one side or the other, at least they've got the more profitable $13 beans hedged, especially with a historically tight basis. And if I'm wrong on the wheat, their yields are big and the prices go down and the weather market never really happens. At least I didn't leave them hanging out on both.
Right. So you're having them hedge both wheat and their double crop soybeans then?
Leaving the wheat alone for right now.
Okay.
But moving fairly aggressively between now and the end of February to get their beans hedged, especially if we can get into the mid-1350s. I think that's probably an area. And I heard heard your conversation with Dan Zwicker yesterday. I couldn't agree more that it seems to me, and this is something else I'll be talking about next week. I'll be talking about a research paper I'm just completing on the commodity supercycle up at the top producer meeting in Chicago. It seems to me between the dollar and the interest rates, and you had asked Dan about this yesterday, that it really strikes me that they are tailwinds right now to the commodity producers. I think they're going to be more headwinds as we get to the second half of the year, mainly because the equities markets and that cheaper dollar are probably cyclically due for a turn, and because the equities markets has been such a big, substantial portion of our stronger growth economically, if we see the equities markets go down, I think that takes our GDP down, and as a result of that, we're kind of the dog and China's kind of the tail at this point. If we lose and slip in gross domestic product. I think China will as well, and that's where the beans really kind of become a double whammy, especially Brazil's 80-plus million tons.
Yeah, but the Fed to this point has really been confident that it's going to hold interest rates lower. Do you think inflation will creep in?
I do. I think what Dan was talking about yesterday in Latin America, historically, Todd, that's a very good leading indicator. When you see Brazil, Argentina, and some of these other countries, Canada, you know, other countries, these commodity currency countries is what they're called, many of them emerging markets, and they're the same emerging markets that have been responsible for this commodity boom and this commodity super cycle. When they start to have to fight inflation, A, they're not going to have as many tools. It's interesting to note because the World Bank and the IMF have been doing a lot of work lately, and one of the World Bank papers that just came out, they noted that the nominal interest rates, the central bank lending interest rates, are actually lower as an aggregate than they were when we were at the height of the financial crisis. So there's actually more loose money around in this world than there was at the height of the financial crisis. That's where I think you run into real headwinds with GDP as we get to the second half of 2013. And that, I think, directly relates to that commodity cycle.
So let's bring that discussion, what we talked about with our Boot Hill friends, and how you might protect them for wheat, and in particular for soybeans, for hedging. Does that work in central Illinois and Indiana?
It actually works better because what I'm trying to use is a paper position in New Crop November right here, right now, with the idea that if I'm wrong and this weather market goes in South America, it's going to go in the next 30 days, and that's going to bring our base price up probably maybe pretty dramatically. And if I have to take a paper loss on hedging right now, I'd rather do that at the expense of seeing my base price go up. And if I get a real high base price in February, then I can look at adding to my percentage increase in insurance and for bean crop insurance. I've actually heard the exact opposite by many people. You probably have too, is that because the yields were better, farmers are probably looking at less bean crop insurance as far as percentage. I'm arguing the higher we go in February, go ahead and take a higher level and actually use that as your hedge with the October price. In other words, you won't have to lock in as aggressively your cash bushels if, you know, between now and June, July, if you have a higher Fed base price, you have an actual hedge in place for the October fall price. And so that gets you out of worrying about hedging too early with the drought.
You want to take a look at the numbers that came out from USDA this afternoon?
Big cattle on-feed report, probably the biggest in a year. The on-feed placements and marketings number all at extreme levels. Very bullish on-feed numbers at 94%. Placements, very bullish at 99%. And marketings, very bullish at 98%. The highest number for marketings was 95. So this is a kind of a report, maybe not good for the corn guy, but it should entice the market to want to maybe get the feeders to finish to heavier weights. That leads me to think that maybe that 134.20 major high in live cattle just put in this past month, we may go back and revisit that as a result of this report.
So all in all, it's fewer cattle, less
fewer
feeding.
Fewer cattle placed, fewer cattle on feed, and we're pushing them out the door better.
Yeah, so they're moving fewer cattle, but they're moving quickly through the door. Still less to feed, I suppose.
Absolutely, and that's where your weights become a big thing, is if you don't entice the fat cattle market, in terms of the futures market, doesn't entice the feeders to hold on, especially if corn prices start to go up,
right.
That becomes a real big issue where you see retail beef prices really climb quickly and corn can't take advantage of that because your actual numbers are going down.
Any thought and projections for the corn market as it makes its way through the month of February, crop insurance setting month, of course? Can it stay in the 580, 96, 610 area?
Yeah, I think 625 December futures is fairly easy to get to if you see a 90 cent to a dollar rally on wheat.
On an average, really?
Yeah, I think that if you can get a wheat-led rally here like 2010, the wheat-corn spread in 2010 went to 350 over, and it was essentially sitting right where it's at right now going into the first part of spring. And by June, July, the wheat-corn spread was $3.50 over in the wheat. So if we could get a rally faster or earlier and, you know, in the next 20, 30 days led by the wheat, I think that the new crop wheat and the drought fear would put the funds in the new crop corn, because the price distinction between these corn of 580 and, you know, July, March, and May corn of 720 suggests to me, if you're worried about drought, then you're going to probably buy the new crop.
Well, in that case, buy lots of crop insurance and, well, hedge it all.
Well, I think this is where
there'd be a lot of corn acres.
Yeah, I mean, this is where it really goes to. I need to dot my I's and cross my T's. I know there's a limit to the upside on crop insurance. I think it was $1.50 and $3. I'm not sure there's a limit to the downside, but
right. Be
that as it may, if there's no limit, I think the higher you go in February, the more aggressive you can be between, and diversify is the name of the game here. Don't do too many hedge to rives. Don't do too many basis contracts. Don't do too many paper contracts. Spread them out so that you have flexibility in the middle of the year.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Have you dialed in yet with your request for tickets to 217-333-7300? We're selling tickets, of course, for our all-day agricultural outlook panels. Those are scheduled for the fifth day of March. It's a Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Get your tickets right now. 217-333-7300 is the number.
Support
to call.
For agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. Director of Ag Programming Dave Dickey is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S.-China Business Council has issued a report that finds that the exchange rate of China's currency has not stunted the level of U.S. exports to China. The report highlights that U.S. exports to China reached $140 billion in 2011, reflecting a 542% increase since the year 2000. Top U.S. exports included agricultural products, computers and electronic products, chemicals, and transportation equipment. The American Society of Civil Engineers has updated its assessment of U.S. infrastructure, warning that the condition of the nation's roads, bridges, power lines, water and sewer systems, ports, and waterways continues to deteriorate. The report calls for additional investments of $157 billion a year between now and the year 2020. The Associated Press recently found hundreds of structures at risk of failing and endangering millions of people and property in 37 states. A top U.S. economist is warning that the Eurozone debt crisis could erupt again this year if European leaders do not move faster to solve their problems. Barry Eichengreen says that the crisis in the 17-country currency group is going to heat up again in 2013. He spoke at the World Economic Forum in the Swiss Alpine resort of Davos. Eichengreen, a professor at the University of California, says markets need to see quicker action to set up a banking supervisor at the EU level, along with a centralized way to restructure failed banks. Nutrition advocates are signaling that they will again push back when Congress begins work on a five-year farm bill to stop any cuts in food stamps. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has been trying to rally farm groups to defend the nutrition programs by arguing farmers get 16 cents out of every dollar people spend on food through aid programs. China's manufacturing crept higher this month to the fastest pace in 2 years. A preliminary version of HSBC's monthly purchasing managers index rose for the fifth month in a row to 51.9 in January, from 51.5 in December. Readings above 50 on the 100-point scale indicate an expansion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. Have you gotten in the car yet and headed towards campus? If not, now might be a good time to do it. So you can get a copy of Orion's book and have it signed by him. He'll be in the lounge on the second floor of Bevier Hall. That's down on the south end of Goodwin Avenue on the agricultural campus here in Urbana-Champaign at the University of Illinois. Orion will be in that lounge from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock this afternoon. And then, of course, with us for the Voices of Illinois Agriculture event this evening. I so hope you get a chance to meet and talk with Orion. The Big O is one of the best and brightest stars in the farm broadcasting world, and we love to have him here on campus. Come see Orion Samuelson right now at the second floor lounge of Bevier Hall. Get your copy of his book and have it signed. And then again tonight, if you happen to have a ticket for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event, we'll see you then. Now, up next, you know, the Chicago Farmers Farmland Investment Fair is set for not this Saturday, but next Saturday, February the 2nd. I'll have more on the annual event. The Farmland Investment Fair is a mainstay of the Chicago farmers. It's a group founded in 1935 with a mission to advance production agriculture and agribusiness. This nonprofit, nonpartisan organization provides information, educational programs, and a forum for discussing issues for its members and others interested in agricultural efficiencies and competitiveness in a global economy. The Farmland Investment Fair has been in place for decades. Mount Pulaski, Illinois farmer Jeff Martin has chaired the event for the last 10 years.
It's going to be held this year, February 2nd, at Joliet Junior College, Weitendorf Agriculture Education Center. This year's fair is going to be similar to the past several. We have probably 40 to 50 exhibitors in the main exhibit hall related to buying and selling farmland, farm management services, anything to do with farmland of buying and selling or the production of grain crops in the Midwest.
Well, the exhibits are just one function of the fair. Those attending can choose from up to 18 different breakout sections or seminars to watch and learn.
A whole list of different topics trying to cover bases for everybody. We have organic farmland values, managing drainage, agriculture production costs, which I think is going to be a really good one this year, to help people understand what it costs to actually produce an acre of corn or soybeans, and then that helps in figuring what you can pay for rent from the landlord's end of it.
The production cost seminar will pull information from the farm business, farm management records in the state and be presented by the University of Illinois. Other seminars during the fair will cover social media, 1031 exchanges, agricultural law, international investing, cover crops, and so much more. Again, the Farmland Investment Fair is Saturday, February the 2nd. It's at the Joliet Junior College in Joliet, Illinois. Pre-registration for the fair and seminar seats is encouraged. The cost is $50 online through January the 26th. Search Google for the Chicago Farmers or visit www.chicagofarmers.org. Walk-ins are, of course, welcome the day of, but the cost is $75. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
We'll be back here in just 2 minutes on the closing market report and talk with the folks over at the Illinois State Water Survey. Jim Angel will help us take a look at the weekend weather forecast. In the meantime, dial this number and get your tickets to our all-day Ag Outlook. The number is 217-333-7300.
It's National Irish Coffee Day. It's also Dinner Party Out Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, in Shays' Rebellion, a group of poor farmers protesting high taxes marched into Springfield, Massachusetts to seize the federal arsenal. Shays' Rebellion caused George Washington to emerge from retirement to advocate a stronger national government. In 1799, the Lycoming Spooner of Vermont patented a gravity-feed seed planting machine. but it was not until 1840 that a truly practical seed planting machine was developed when Joseph Gibbons received a patent for a machine that combined a grain drill with cavities to deliver the seed and a device to regulate the volume. In 1915, Alexander Graham Bell inaugurated U.S. Transcontinental Telephone Service, speaking from New York to Thomas Watson in San Francisco. By the way, the phone line used 2,500 tons of copper wire and 130,000 telephone poles. In 1945, Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters topped the charts with Don't Fence Me In. By the way, Crosby recorded the song without ever having previously heard of it or seen it. And in 1955, U.S. and Panama signed the Panama Canal Treaty. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's a Friday afternoon. This is the 25th day of January. I'm Todd Gleason on the phone line to take a look at the weather forecast. With us, Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been really cold. But it's getting better, although it's kind of slick and nasty, and I think there's at least one more day of that in front of us over the weekend.
That's right. Not quite motorcycle riding weather just yet.
Not yet.
Today's actually, it's funny now, 32 degrees feels pretty warm out.
Yes, it does.
We're getting used to that cold weather. Tomorrow it's going to be high of 26, and then on Sunday, there's actually a chance of a wintry mix, and then it's going to start warming up about Sunday night. And so we'll start to see temperatures more spring-like as we get into Monday and Tuesday, with highs on Monday around 48 degrees, low Monday night of 46, and high on Tuesday of 57, and even a chance of thunderstorms on Tuesday. So very spring-like weather, but that'll be short-lived. We'll drop right back down into winter weather on Wednesday. So it's I guess enjoy it while you can. Is the bottom line.
Get the bike
there.
Out. Might ride to campus on Tuesday. Might get a little wet.
Hey, why not?
Huh?
Yeah.
So the wet this winter so far, how's it compared to previous winters and again to last year's drought-ridden winter? Actually, although it was just mostly warmer than normal last year.
That's right. Yeah, that's one of the things that's going on right now, especially in the northern two-thirds of the state, is that we have been in kind of a, what you might call a snow drought with much below normal snowfall. I mean, here we're about 2 to 3 inches of snow for the year to date, and Chicago's in the same boat. That's certainly very noticeable. But, you know, every once in a while we get a rain event kind of sneak in there and actually give us some rain. And this time of year is usually our driest time of the year. Normal rainfall and or precipitation, whether it's rain or snow, melted, is about 2 inches in January and 2 inches in February. So this is our driest time of year. So anytime we get any amount of precipitation, that does a pretty good job of helping us make up on the precipitation deficit. So just the fact that we don't have snow is not that big of a problem as long as we're getting it in the form of rain, which we seem to be doing right now.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey, serves as the state climatologist at the Prairie Research Institute right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. A few things to keep in mind. Commodity Week will record this afternoon at 4 o'clock, about a half an hour early, so we can make some time to get over to the Voices of Illinois Agriculture event at Bevere Hall. That starts at 6 o'clock tonight. Hopefully, we'll get to see you there. If not, and you want a book from Orion Samuelson, you'd like to have that signed. He, in just about 25 minutes, will be on the second floor lounge of Bevere Hall. Has books there for you to purchase, and He'd be glad to sign them for you, and then he'll be with us throughout the evening to eat this evening. Our guest for Commodity Week, by the way, is Steve Freed. He's here on campus, and we'll be at the Voices event tonight, but in studio here this afternoon. We'll have also along with us Dale Durkles this afternoon, Jackie Bakes, and Wayne Nelson. We're really looking forward to that. Posted probably about 5 o'clock to our website. That's USA Central Time. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs.